Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. Oh, you're full of energy this morning.
Two coffees.
Oh, okay. Well, we need to date our show. So today is Friday, June 19th, and welcome to the show. I wanted to start with a little thing here about sleeping, because I'm proud to say I slept for 8 hours last night.
No.
But what I'm disappointed to say is I'm even more tired than I was yesterday.
Oh.
I mean, yesterday I was so tired all day, I can't even tell you. I decided not to drive Uber at night because I was just too tired.
Good.
And I had to catch up. So today my plan is catch up on another 3-4 hours, you know, kind of a long nap.
Yeah.
And be able to function. So what I wanted to bring up is very appropriately, I guess a new study is saying that sleeping obviously is very important to you. And if you don't sleep enough, you risk heart attacks and strokes. And they're saying that adults need at least 7 hours of sleep in order to function.
I believe it.
Correctly. And I guess there is a reason why the body needs sleep, right?
Yeah.
To regenerate itself. And if you don't, you get me. So, but all in all, it's Friday. We're energized. Jen brought in a good friend of hers. We're going to bring her in just a second. And then another one is going to be on the phone. So is our phone guest also a friend? Jen?
I don't know her, but yeah. She is.
But she's a friend of Shira,
yeah.
Who is our guest. So,
yes.
Okay, so we'll find out more about that. They're doing some noble things, and we'll find out everything that they do and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, beautiful day in LA. It's been very hot. Is it hot in West Hollywood too?
Oh, yeah. It's like miserable a little bit.
Really? What was the high? Do you know?
No.
No.
Like 90. Like,
yeah, it's maybe. 104 here in
Gross.
The valley. Yeah,
I
know.
Kill myself, probably.
Tell me about it.
It's really just
And
too
you
hot.
Like heat, too.
Well, no. What I like is no extremes. So
okay.
I like somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Like balance. I don't know. It's just
I thought
a thing.
You preferred heat over cold.
No. Well, yeah, I do, but I also hate heat.
Right.
So
I know.
Just
too much
it,
heat is too much.
But I don't love, like, sweltering heat.
Right.
Gross.
I know.
Where you, like, feel like you're sweating in your clean clothes that you just put on after your clean shower, and now you're, like, gross.
Right. And if they're tight, they stick to your body, and it's
And that's all my
terrible.
Clothes. They're
yeah.
all tight, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, yeah, many of them, mine are tight, too, like the jeans and stuff, and, I mean, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel it.
I'm not into it.
Yeah, I know.
And then you've got to, like, crank the AC, and then your, like, energy bill goes up, or you use all your gas, and it's just, like, a whole thing.
I know. So the best thing is just not to be out in the sun, you know. In the shade, it's bearable, but the sun is hot.
Right.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it's going to be hot all weekend, which
yeah.
I'm not mad at, because it should be hot on weekends. It should be pretty. It should be, like,
right, and it's
summery.
Summer. Right, exactly.
But, like, a few degrees less would be ideal.
Right. And the nights are still kind of chilly, which is interesting. And so it doesn't smell like summer yet, but it is summer indeed.
What is the summer smell?
I don't know. The evenings of the summer have a certain smell to them. Like
want,
a good smell.
Like, do you want to describe it?
Or? I don't know how to describe it, Jen.
Awesome.
It's just in the air somewhere.
All right. I'll take your word for it. If I smell it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know if you if you smell something unusual when it gets warm.
I mean,
night.
There's always something unusual to smell. But
yeah.
Maybe I just didn't know that was called summer.
Well, that's cool. So I guess they decided the suspect of the murder in Charleston, at least I was listening to Fox News, and they decided not to mention his name.
They've already mentioned it.
On Fox? Not on Fox.
No, they mentioned it everywhere. They
yeah, probably. Yeah.
When we had our show yesterday, they already arrested him.
Yeah, I know. But did they release his name, though?
Yeah.
They did.
Everywhere.
Wow. So why didn't they...
Did you hear the story of how he was caught?
No, tell me about that.
A woman
one.
Recognized him, and she put in a call to the police, and she followed him in her car.
Really?
Yeah, knowing he was armed, she just couldn't let him get away. She knew that if she didn't do something because nobody else was at that exact moment, that he could go kill people elsewhere.
Wow. So she recognized him, what, from seeing on TV or something, the pictures they put up?
Either seeing him on TV or seeing him leave the church right after it happened or something.
Okay,
I heard it briefly this morning on the news, and yeah, so she like... It wasn't like a citizen's arrest because clearly she didn't get out of her car and say, like, you're arrested. But she followed him and she was telling the police where he was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a bad break for him, huh?
I mean, he just killed a bunch of people. I don't know if it was a bad break for him.
No, for him it was.
It's a bad break for the people that got killed, probably. But
yeah, but not that he got caught, you know. I mean, for them it's... yeah, well, whatever. They're saying he wanted a race war. And, I mean, this guy's young, right? How old is he?
Yeah, but there were signs of him being like a white supremacist and things like that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, homegrown stuff, man. We get a lot of that, too. Like, we don't have enough from the terrorists. We need this, too. But it's sad, you know. It's very sad.
Yeah.
You know that, I mean, a few days ago or last week when the police were... breaking up this party with black people and stuff. I don't remember where it was, but they were using brutality and things like that. I mean, there's like pictures everywhere of that. And what I couldn't believe is they're saying that the people were orderly. It's not like it was a riot or anything, you know. They're showing him like beating up a 14-year-old girl or something or wrestling her to the ground.
Yeah.
And, I mean, come on, you know, what is this?
Don't know.
So that's obviously overuse of power.
Yeah.
And obviously not all cops are like that. I still would like to believe we can trust cops.
I mean, I feel like we have to some degree just because that's all we have protecting us.
Right.
So it's them or nothing.
Yeah. But there's always bad apples, you know, but for the most part, I think... look, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people go into the police force, you know.
Right.
And I suspect that some of them, just like the power trip, whatever, you know, being in charge, being in authority. But to abuse that power is a big no-no, you know. I mean, I don't see that. I mean, they should really be punished when they do that because these are people you're trusting.
Absolutely.
And they... they break your trust.
I'm all for putting cameras on police.
Yeah, huh? Body cam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. All right. Well, let's bring in your guest. So we're going to bring her in, and also the woman she's involved with is going to call in as well.
Yep.
Her name is Brittany. But let's first introduce Shira to the show. She's a good friend of yours.
Yep.
So you do the introduction.
Welcome to the show, Shira. Thanks for having me. Am I on?
Yes, you're on. You're on. And Jen, is she considered a special guest?
She's definitely special.
A special guest. Okay.
She's special.
Good.
We talk about whether like everybody's special, but I'm like, well, then everyone's not that special.
Because we give Lauren a hard time, you know, when she comes in.
Yeah. So, because it's like, if you call everyone a special guest, who's really that?
Then who's really special.
That's special. But but I explained that all our guests are special because they're guests. You know, they come to visit us. They give us some of their time and stuff.
Yes, like so some of us are more special than others. But.
Yeah, but you will have to get closer to the mic, Shira.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you don't have to move the chair. Just kind of lean in like we do. You know,
it's my first time.
Yeah, no, it's okay. But we want to hear you well, and you'll thank me later when you listen to the show.
Okay.
So welcome to the show, Shira.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So so you guys are good friends. Do you remember when you met?
Yeah. No.
No.
Wait, let me think. When did we meet?
I don't know.
You guys
got to
think about
times.
These things sometimes.
I remember. I had heard
was
about
it your birthday.
Oh no, I don't think so. I remember I heard about you through Lauren.
You know.
And then I saw you when you were on a date.
Yes, you did.
And we both texted Lauren. And I was like, I think your friend Jenna's here. And then Lauren's like, she just texted me the same thing about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when her date went to the bathroom, Jen came over and said hi. And
yeah.
And we knew. It's love at first sight.
It was.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
And how long have you known each other now, Shira? Do you remember?
Feels like years.
Feels like a,
it's yeah. really been about a year.
Yeah.
Cool. And are you from LA or did you move here from somewhere else?
I grew up in New York. I moved here when I was 17.
Oh, really? New York City?
No, Long Island.
Long Island. Okay.
Long Island.
Well, that's part of the city, no?
No.
No, not really?
No, I'm usually like, people are like, where are you from? I'm like, New York. And they're like, really? Awesome. What part? Long Island. Oh. Not really from New York. Like, I'm from New York.
Yeah. No, Long Island is definitely a part of New York. So did you have fun growing up there in Long Island? I mean, were you like, was it like, it's usually like nicer neighborhoods, isn't it?
It depends what part. Long Island, well, at least where I grew up, Massapequa Park, is a little boring. We would sneak into the city. When I was 14, I went to my first club. I think that's when I had my first ID. So you go to the
serious?
City to have fun.
At 14, they let you in?
They did let me in.
Whoa.
I didn't look like I was 21. I didn't even look like I was 14. But they let me in.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I've talking about 14, I'm watching The Aviator. And, you know, with me, it's like I'm always watching it. It's not like I watch the movie.
Right.
Because I watch it in parts.
Right.
So, at a certain point, this 14-year-old came to audition for him, and he hooked up with her. And that's Howard Hughes. And I was like, wow, you know, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know? So,
wait.
So I don't know how it turns out, but yeah, she came to audition for his movies because he was doing movies.
The movie
and stuff.
With Leo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, The Aviator.
And a 14-year-old.
So he played Howard Hughes, and Howard Hughes met this 14-year-old, and he hooked up with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's legal.
No,
it's
weird.
Not legal.
It's
yeah,
weird is what it is.
It's very weird.
Did he get in trouble, or was that like?
Well, I haven't gotten to that part of the movie yet, but maybe back then they didn't.
Oh my
get
god,
in
I
trouble.
Love it that you watch movies. In
yeah,
parts.
In parts. Yeah, I can only sit for half an hour and watch it. That's why I go to the theater sometimes because that forces me to watch the whole movie.
You know what? I'm the same way.
Really?
If I watch a movie on my TV or at home, I'll never get through it. But in a theater, I'm forced. Well, right. That's not true. I've walked out of many movies, but
yeah, that's true.
I'm more likely to stay.
Yeah. Which one do you recall you walked out on?
Last movie I walked out on. Honestly, I probably don't remember most of the names of the ones I walked out on. Mm. It's been a while, though.
Yeah.
I don't go to the movies that much anymore.
Yeah, I know. Nobody does, it seems. Yet, movies make a lot of money. I mean, Jurassic World made $500 million in the first
it's like
weekend.
$27 a ticket to go.
Yeah, yeah, that the prices just kill me.
Yeah, it is expensive. And then you buy the you know, the popcorn or whatever it is that you buy there, and that's twice the price of the tickets.
Oh, right. Yeah. By the time you get your popcorn, your soda, you're like $40 in.
Yeah.
Parking,
that's true.
10.
Yeah.
Weeks.
So, listen, let's talk a little bit before we get more into other things. Let's talk about what it is that that you do right now. And because Brittany is going to call in a few minutes and she's going to chime in on whatever we're talking about. So go ahead.
Well, Brittany and I run a animal rescue for cats and dogs called Little Love Rescue. Mm-hmm. And we've both been rescuing animals for, God, for me, it's been like 20 years now. Not sure when she started, actually. But yeah, we run an animal rescue here in LA, and
very cool. What does it mean to run it? Did you guys found it as well?
Yeah,
you did.
We're partners in this rescue. We both worked for many other rescues. I mean, we still collaborate and work with a ton of other rescues and shelters and organizations out here. But we wanted to start our own so we could kind of, you know, do things our way and be more efficient and.
So you started this for someone else? I mean, because
no,
because you say now you want your own. So this one's not your own?
No, this one is our own.
Right.
So we've been working for and with a bunch of other rescues, but we wanted to do our own thing. It's always been kind of a dream of both of ours. So we finally partnered up and started our own.
Very cool. When did you start the center?
About a year ago.
Really?
Is when we started our own rescue, yeah.
Right, very cool. So you've been doing it since you were young. You
yeah.
always had an affinity for dogs, cats, both?
When I was, I think, like 7 or 8 years old. I, you know, rescued my first cat, and then from there it like just didn't stop. I think at one point we had like 13 strays hidden in my parents' basement.
Wow.
And it just like grew and grew. We used to, my friends called my house the animal rescue, because I mean, now even my parents back in Long Island, they have like 25 strays.
And are you serious?
Yeah, wow. No, we're the animal house.
Wow.
I've rubbed off on my entire family.
Yeah, huh? Well, that's good. I mean, somebody has to do this. And you know what? People put some horrible pictures of animal abuse on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's really provocative. I mean, to me, it's like I can't even stand to look at it. You know?
The worst is the whole Yulin thing,
yes,
right now.
Oh, gosh.
We were talking about that a little bit yesterday.
It's What's terrible. That?
Remember the dog eating festival I was telling you about?
Were you?
Yeah. So it's, what is happening right now?
You know, I'm not, this is new to me too. I just heard about this now, but I'm not exactly sure. I honestly didn't even know that they ate them. I just know that they brutally,
they like put them in sacks, like a bunch of dogs at one time. There are pictures going
around.
It's
awful.
That it's like catching animals and like in a trap, and then they're all stuck in there. And there's
that's what I saw. That's the kind of picture I saw.
My question is, what kind of monsters think that this is something
that this is okay, right?
Like, not even just okay, but this is something they do for fun?
Well, I think some people like eat dog meat. Like, that's just a thing. So I don't know why it's a festival. And I don't know why anybody eats them, because that, you know, obviously like there are different, like, I don't know, states of the human brain or like the animal brain. And like people like say that animals have a lot more that like go into their brains than say a cow, you know, so you shouldn't be eating dogs because it's in like a more
intelligent animals.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And so you shouldn't be eating that kind of animal. You should be eating the ones that like are here for food. Basically.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other
subject. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are here for us.
Because I understand you're a vegan too, right?
I am vegan, so is Brittany. Yes, we're both also very big animal rights activists. So I don't think any animals are here for us.
But exactly. But then there's this thing that's like people are eating dogs and there's a festival for it.
It's disgusting.
And this is here in this country.
I actually don't know where you live.
No, I think it's in... I don't want to get this wrong, but I want to say China. I'm not sure.
Well, that's where they eat dogs. We know that. I didn't know if the festival was there or
not.
We're
going to look it up because we need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we really do. It's
you
horrific.
Know, I mean, the thing is that, and thank goodness, God bless you for people like you that actually care about this.
And
care enough to take care of these animals, because somebody has to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these domesticated animals, we create for ourselves, you know, almost for a selfish reason.
Yeah.
We owe them that. We owe them to look after them.
Definitely.
Like kids.
Like another thing that I have kind of no tolerance for is people that still go to breeders. But people don't know, you know, so it's good for people to be informed, you know, on platforms such as this. You know, I meet so many people, they just don't know any better.
Right.
And they don't know that, you know, going to breeders is why there's so many homeless animals at the pounds and the shelters. And
why? Because they breed a lot and there's no homes for them? Is that what it is?
I'd say over half of the animals that are at the pounds are dumped there from breeders. And if there weren't breeders, then there'd be homes for all these animals. It's because we're, you know, breeding way too many, you know, like the Chihuahua phase after Paris Hilton and all these Chihuahua breeders, and then all of a sudden Chihuahuas aren't the in thing anymore. Right. Every shelter is filled with Chihuahuas.
Wow. Filled with them. I remember I was looking for a dog, and I was taken to an actual animal shelter versus like a rescue that has already like taken them out.
Yeah.
Like made them cute again and like remove their mange and whatever else happens to them. And they're so sad. Like, I've never, it's like a prison for animals.
Horrible.
They're so upset. They're miserable. They're crying. They're skittish. They're crazy. They're reacting just because they're in a cage. So you really don't know their personality. And they transform into these little like beasts that you just.
I can't tell you how many animals I've gotten from the pound that were deemed unadoptable or aggressive. And once they're out of the pound, I couldn't be any sweeter.
Wow.
It's just because they're in this environment, they're so scared. And that's why I love kind of taking them out. And, you know, they're just completely different different animals.
Yeah. Well, we have Brittany on the line. Brittany, are you there with us?
I am. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Brittany Littleton. And, of course, we have Shira here, and we've been talking about adopting animals. Hi, partner, she said.
Hi, partner.
Yeah. Get a little closer to the mic when you talk.
Okay.
Yeah. And Brittany, are you here in L.A. also?
Yes, I am. That's how Shira and I met, through a mutual friend in L.A. And we were both doing the same thing, really, and have a huge heart for animals. So we got connected that way, and we've been doing rescue together ever since for the past few years now.
So the circumstances under which you met involved the dogs and the rescue, right? That's where you met? Or did you find out later you had it in common?
No, we were connected through a friend who just knew that we were doing the same thing. You know, we were going out and both of us taking way too many animals into our own home.
Wow.
Always.
Yeah.
And so we partnered to, you know, kind of lighten that load. But ended up, I think, just in the long run, getting way more animals. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So now you're both vegan. Brittany, how long have you been vegan now?
I've been vegan, actually, right around today will be my 8-year anniversary of being vegan.
Wow. Oh, so you don't miss meat at all, meat products, even dairy products, right?
No, I don't. I really don't at all. I mean, I went vegetarian at a young age. I went vegetarian at 11 because I realized that my hamburger was a cow.
Right.
So I asked my mom. if they killed cows to make hamburgers, or if they just die and we make hamburgers. She said we killed them. So I said I'm not doing that.
Wow.
And dairy was much harder for sure. But it's just kind of that initial change,
right.
and then you don't miss it.
Yeah. Then you say, okay, the hell with cheese and milk and everything. I'll find replacement for that.
Yeah. There's so many replacements nowadays. There's just. It's so much easier. I mean, especially if you live in LA and in places that are so vegan friendly.
Right, yeah. LA is very health conscious these days, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You can definitely be vegan and not be healthy too, though, if you're not into the health gate.
Right.
Yeah, no, I always say I'm a proud non-healthy vegan person because people have such a stigma about like, oh, vegan, healthy. And I'm like, no, I'm not healthy and I'm still vegan.
No,
what does that mean, though?
My diet consists of cookies and...
Yeah, no, I eat tons of cookies,
chips, okay.
You know, carbs. I'm a carb junkie.
So it's not for as much health reasons as it is for compassion for animals.
For me, it's all it's all for
right.
ethical reasons.
Right.
I mean,
it sounds like Brittany's too,
The health benefits are undeniable for sure. And I really am into the healthy food, but I was just saying you don't have to eat that way. You can eat you can make any diet into a vegan diet. My parents recently went vegetarian. My dad is from the deep south. My mom is from Mexico, and we make all their foods just vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, my entire family too.
Really? So you turned them vegan too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, my sister just married.
You're next.
Me?
We're everywhere. We're coming for you.
Right. It's funny because yesterday we had a guest. We were talking about food as well, and she's writing a book actually called Meat on the Side.
Ooh.
And she figured that, meat should be a minor part of the meal.
Like the side dish.
Yeah.
And
like
the veggies should be the entree.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting. Although, I mean, for her, it wasn't reasons of compassion for animals. It was more like what's better for us, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
but if if being vegan works for you, why not? You know, I mean, it's obviously healthier than eating meat. I would think
it's undeniable. The vegan diet has. I'm going to sound like a nerd right now, but all the studies show, all the books show, people literally will have cancer and debilitating diseases, and they will switch to a vegan diet, and they are cured.
Wow.
It's amazing. I really, even just for the health benefits alone, I don't know why people don't become vegan if not for...
Don't they also say that, like, when you eat... this is a theory, I'm sure, that when you eat an animal, you're eating its energy, too, and whatever it went through.
So I believe that.
So if the animal was treated poorly and things like that, it has a certain, you know, energy.
Right. That's why there's a certain way that... they butcher in a kosher way, you know,
right.
Where supposedly they kill the animal quickly and they don't go through
and
any
that
stress.
Is such, can I curse here?
Yeah,
you can. That is such bullshit.
Okay.
That is utter bullshit. There is no nice way to kill an animal.
I agree. The animal, I mean, an animal just like a human knows when they're going to be killed. You can see it. I mean, you can,
yeah.
It's really hard to watch, but you can watch a lot of those undercover videos. And even the ones where they aren't kept in the most horrible of conditions, which is the norm,
right.
They still know when they're going to be killed. They're still afraid. They still, so they end their life in fear and panic and, you know, trying to save themselves. So I don't think there's really any way to escape that if you believe that
right.
that energy carries on, which I do, because, I mean, even just scientifically, energy doesn't die, right? So it goes right. somewhere.
Yeah, no, I 100% believe that you digest all of their, what do you call that, like their fear hormones.
Stress and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually, I read just now what the Yulin Festival is. It is in China, and it has okay. to do with the winter. They eat the animals because apparently that is what they think is that it stimulates heat within their body so that they can get through the winter.
That is wow. so barbaric. Yeah. I don't know how this still
And there are no animal protection laws, apparently, in China.
Right.
Britt, yeah, do you know about this?
The Yulin Festival, the dog meat festival?
Yeah, I just posted something about that, actually, on Instagram. I had my dog, my husky, I had him, like, sit in front of a sign that says, please don't eat my friends.
Oh, but, I saw that, yeah.
That's good.
I think a lot of people, I mean, definitely a lot of people here in the States can, you know, really feel very passionately that this is barbaric, that it's torture, that it's inhumane, which I, of course, absolutely agree that it is. And it's great to see people, you know, trying to make a difference or at least raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm also trying to encourage people to realize, like, okay, yes, like, let's absolutely fight this. I don't want to take away from taking a stand against this. Right. But remember that so many animals here in the States, we are treating the same way. They yeah. live that, and it's not just once a year, it's every day.
Yeah.
On farms and slaughterhouses, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when people just don't think about the fact that animals have feelings. You know, they're not just food. We're just used to dogs and cats being pets, but really every animal has that same capacity for emotion and love and bonding. And they, you know, they want to live. I think it's as simple as that. Everyone wants and deserves to be able to live.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, that's the life instinct, I think, that every living thing has, you know, trying to survive.
Right.
Now, so let me ask you this. Why do people avoid adopting dogs from pounds and or rescue places people are like kind of like iffy about it, right? I mean, because obviously people still go to breeders.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of people are misinformed, and I hear this all the time. People are like, well, I don't want a sick dog, and
right.
I want to know what I'm getting. And the truth is, breeders have sick dogs for the most part.
Yeah.
They're inbred. They have – it's been proven time and time again they have tons of health issues. Dog mills alone, you know, are horrific conditions. So people are misinformed. That's the biggest – thing,
yeah,
right.
There's definitely a misconception there. Also, with people thinking like, "Oh, well, I don't know if the dog's gonna be violent, or we don't, you know, they might have had a bad past, so it's gonna affect them now," and that's really sad. A lot of animals suffer more for people thinking that. And while of course it's true, some of the animals have, you know, they've been abandoned or they have been abused.
Right.
That's not even the case for the majority. And even if it were, I mean, two of my dogs were, like, horrifically abused by the people who had them before I did, and they are, I mean, animals are just so much more forgiving and loyal than people are, so they're the sweetest, like, most loving, most loyal creatures you could ever know, and,
right.
you know, it's just, all it takes, for the most part, is just some TLC and some basic training. Occasionally, there are worse situations, but you would always know that before you adopted that dog or cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, it's just undeniable when you rescue an animal, they know you're rescuing them. And it's, for me, I would so much rather adopt an animal that's been abused and give it a better life than, you know, go buy one from a puppy mill and support these heinous breeders.
Right.
Yeah. Now, would you say that people also think maybe they can't get a, like a purebred dog at a pound or something.
People,
I mean, because some people insist on that, right? Some people insist on that.
Yeah, that is my I hate when people, they want, you know, a tiny little 4-pound dog with blue eyes and blonde hair. I mean, it's like, it's like
it's a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Love
but
it.
The thing is,
it's like having a baby,
is,
you know.
Up to 50% of the animals in shelters are purebred.
Yeah,
I have
exactly.
a purebred Maltese, a purebred Persian cat, and a purebred Siberian Husky that were all rescued from shelters.
Yeah, that's the other thing I tell people. I'm like, if you are really dead set on, you know, your perfect blonde hair, blue eyed little Nazi dog, then I can find that for you. You know, I will hold back my judgment and I will still find that for you from a pound because that's where they all end up anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And what happens? So like sometimes people will even get a dog, not be able to take care of it. And then it ends up in the pound.
Yeah.
Right. Like
time
that's
time
how
again.
These like, you know, purebred, like if we're going to say like perfect dogs or whatever people think they are, end up there versus like the breeds that mix.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of breeders also, they'll get shut down because, you know, for treating the animals so poorly or, like, having so many. And then they all, you know, at once, they'll dump about 100, you know, purebreds at a pound. It happens all the time.
Very often.
Wow, yeah. And you know what? I mean, again, God bless all these activists because I know down the street from where I live, they used to have a pet shop.
Yeah.
And people every Saturday would stand there and demonstrate with signs and everything that this place uses puppy mills and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? I thought to myself, how can anybody survive something like this? I mean, you know, a business works hard enough to bring in the business, and these people are killing his business. But you know what? Eventually, he had to close.
Yeah, I don't think there's
they
one.
Put the pressure.
There used to be a pet store inside the Beverly Center.
Yeah, I
right
remember
when you
that.
Walked in, and it was all like tiny puppies in these tiny little cages, mm-hmm. and it was like awful to look at. Like the place where they were kept was the size of like if you put two pairs of shoes.
Yeah. No, I remember
they
that.
They closed.
I don't think in LA there's one pet store left, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Brittany, are you still with us? I know you got disconnected for some reason.
Yeah, lost you for a minute, but I'm back now.
I'm actually
on my way right now to pick up a dog who was found on the streets. So that's why I'm cutting in and out, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Well, Brittany, we'll let you go. Just any final ideas you want to give us before you go?
Well, definitely just if you're considering, you know, adopting an animal, please rescue. You won't regret it. It'll be the best decision you ever make. We would, if you're here in LA or anywhere in Southern California, obviously we want to help you. We are so happy to talk to you about, you know, if you're looking for a specific cat or dog, we'll help you find them. If not, we have quite a few we are looking for homes for right now. I have a beautiful Siberian Malamute mix whose owners, I'll just really quickly tell you the story. They're, you know, they lived in Beverly Park in Beverly Hills, which probably most people know. It was a really affluent neighborhood, in like $30 million home. They moved to China, left him tied in the backyard. He was there for 4 months. The gardener was feeding him twice a week.
How could people do this? I mean, my God, you know, your dog becomes part of your family.
Oh, the things we have seen, people
are awful.
I mean, why wouldn't they get through the trouble of dropping it off at a...
I just yesterday got a text from my girlfriend who, this family has these two dogs, and I mean, their whole Instagram is these dogs dressed up in outfits. Like, you look at this and you're like, okay, these two dogs have, like, the posh life. Well, now they're moving, and for whatever reason, they can only have one dog, so they're getting rid of it.
No!
Who does that?
Yeah. Yeah. Who does that?
Yeah, it's crazy. And it happens so often, but like I said, we are dedicated to helping these animals and finding them homes, so I hope that people will support that and rescue. Definitely, you can email us, thelittlelovescue@gmail.com. Our Instagram is @littlelovescue. So, you know, come see who we're looking for homes for. Let us know if you are considering adopting or have any questions. We're so happy to help and to hopefully reunite some people with some animals.
Sounds good,
Brittany. Not reunite, but unite.
Yeah.
Yes, and Brittany's not allowed to take it anymore, so we need to find the home.
I've been officially cut off.
She's at her max.
All right, Brittany. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Maybe next time you'll be able to be in the studio. And we can talk more about this subject because it's very relevant. You know, there's just, it's a major problem, I think, in our society
today.
Right. Yes. thank you so much for having us on and for, you know, helping us raise awareness about this. And I'd love to come in soon and continue the conversation.
Yeah.
You guys got to bring in animals next time.
Okay.
Yay. Oh, yeah.
You're going to regret that one. Like,
well. All right, Brittany. Thanks to you. Thank you and all the best to you.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
You
thank
too.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shira has tried to pawn off a cat or two on me.
Oh,
really?
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Well, it works. You know, last time my parents came to visit, I sent them home with two dogs. I'm very persuasive.
Persuasive, right.
Persuasive would be the word.
Right. But the thing is this, is that you also have to realize that Jen is living a lifestyle where it's not really accommodating to a dog, you know, and that's what she said. I mean, she'd love to have one, but she wouldn't have the time to spend with
right.
it.
Right, yeah. Well, so, you know, I though it is something I would totally do, and I would only adopt.
Right.
Like, my parents actually, sorry to blow you up, parents, but have dogs that they bought from breeders. Mm-hmm. So that pains me a little bit.
Right.
And I don't think that maybe where they are, they were, you know, as knowledgeable in the fact that you should adopt. They're right. in Miami, and I think there are might have still been pet stores around when they got yeah. their dogs like 6 years ago.
Right. So, and there's a lot more awareness today, I think.
Absolutely.
100%.
You know. And, I mean, truthfully, we had a dog once that just showed up in our garage and had tons of mange, and our neighbor across the street like was an animal rescuer. She had 13 cats, 17 dogs. It was like a house full of animals. And she was like, well, I'm going to come in. I'm going to take this dog. I'm going to put it through like the gauntlet of like treatment and bring it back to you. And you're going to be very happy with this dog. So we got the dog back, and the dog was like the best dog that has ever existed.
Oh, I love that.
Ever. This dog was like sent from the heavens, and I found it in our garage. And I was like, a big dog's in our garage. Mind you, the dog was not big. I don't know what I was seeing. But the dog became the most wonderful, loving dog. And it's because she was saved, and she had a life that was completely different than her past life. And she was just like a dream.
And they yeah. know that. They know when they're being rescued. They appreciate that, and like the love that you get from an animal that has escaped, you know, a crappy beginning is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, they're totally dependent on us, you know, for their well-being, for their health, for yeah. their
this makes me want to go out and adopt a dog right now.
Do it. Yeah,
it really does.
So, okay, when you guys find dogs, are they usually like you get a call from someone, like what Brittany was saying? Like,
yeah, there's a million different ways. We will get a call, you know, like she just got, that some dog has been left abandoned, or there's a lot of dogs, especially in downtown LA, that are, you know, just strays on the streets. We go to pounds a lot. We pull dogs. If people tell me exactly what they want, I'll specifically pull a dog. A lot of times I go to the pounds and I just, you know, I fall in love with like 12 dogs, and those are the ones that I need to take out and find homes for. I also had a situation a few times like this where I actually had to convince a homeless person to kind of relinquish their dog that they were abusing, you know. And one of my favorite stories really quick is I always carry dog food in the trunk of my car for homeless people with dogs, because actually you'd be surprised. Some homeless people give the best life and love to dogs. And I have no problem with that. You know, if the dog is well taken care of, I'd rather them be there than, you know, in a cage. But, you know, once in a while, sadly, they don't give the best home. So I pulled over to give this guy food for his dog. He was crazy. He was pulling this poor little emaciated dog by its neck. It was awful. Long story short, I got the dog away from him. This dog went from rags to riches, lives in a mansion in Malibu. Like, my favorite story.
Whoa.
This dog was just, I mean, covered in dirt and just emaciated. Now it's like this fat, happy dog, spoiled.
What a life.
Bedroom. It's one of my favorite stories. Wow. I keep up to date with him.
Very cool. So how do people go about this? I mean, do you like screen people before they take the dog? What do you do exactly?
Well, I'll do house checks. It depends, you know, if you're my friend, obviously I already know you're a good egg, but, we'll make sure that you're a good home. We always make sure, you know, to tell the person if you change your mind for any reason or, God forbid, something happens, like, just promise you will bring the animal back to us. You know, do not dump it on the street. We make you sign, you know, contracts basically saying that you won't do that. Yeah, I mean, we definitely screen people. I mean, anybody, for the most part, if you want to rescue an animal, you have a good heart, you're a good person, you want to. But there are definitely people that want to and they're not prepared to.
And they can't handle it, right?
Yeah, and those people, you know, we try to screen out, because the worst thing is to, you know, give an animal to somebody that can't handle it or isn't, you know, responsible enough.
Exactly. You know, and that's what you want to do. You want to avoid abuse.
Yeah.
More abuse for the animal.
Yeah. So do you get them, like, their shots and everything? How does it work on your end financially even?
Well, we'll try to get all the, you know, shots, all the, we'll get the animal fixed. It depends, you know, sometimes from the pound they're already fixed or they already have shots, but we'll get them all cleaned up. We take donations. I mean, me and Brittany both, I think, have spent our entire savings on animals. No animal rescuer is living the life, because we cannot stop spending our own money on them. But, yeah, I mean, primarily it's donations and just raising money and
cool. So how do people donate?
Well, you could donate to us on our website is currently under reconstruction right now, but you can donate to us directly. We definitely need donations.
Right. But how do they do that? They can't do it through the website yet, so now they have to call you or something?
Oh, no, you can do it through PayPal to the Little Love Rescue at Gmail.
Okay.
You just enter the email address and you could do it directly that way. You could send checks to the Little Love Rescue with either of our addresses. We mainly do it through PayPal. It's just easier for most people these days.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. I mean, you guys should definitely take this into consideration if you're thinking of a dog or something in LA or anywhere else. You
or
know
a cat,
mean?
Too. Yeah, right. Dogs and cats.
Yeah.
I have tons of kitties right now.
Right. And obviously, this is not just an LA issue. I'm sure it's everywhere. And you guys, you know, even if you want to donate to your local rescue centers, you can do that as well. Nobody's stopping you from doing that. And I think that's probably one of the best ways to help out the dogs, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you see, I think all these pictures on Facebook and stuff, Instagram, of abused animals, they move us to action, I think, you know, if nothing else.
It kills
it's hard
me.
To look at them.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah McLachlan especially.
Oh, yeah. I know, but you know what? It's great. It's bringing awareness.
Yeah.
I always say, well, this isn't so much for rescue, but with, you know, the animal right stuff, I always say, if you can't watch the video, don't eat them. You know, you need to sit through that if you're gonna do it.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, awareness is important.
Yeah definitely. Well, you know, you definitely saved a few cows in your life, and
maybe some
lambs and stuff, if you know, if you're inclined to eat lamb. But
Maybe I should go vegan. Let's talk later.
Let's do it. Ooh, yay. I'm excited. I'll take you to the farm.
Okay, you went way too far.
Once you have a cow lick your face, you can't.
Well, I don't eat red meat anyway. And it was because my dad stopped eating it for ethical reasons way back when. Like, and so I grew up with my dad not eating red meat, but he eats poultry and fish, or used to. And my mom ate red meat, still does. So I, at some point when I was 12, like, decided, no more, not eating like my mom, I'm going to eat like my dad. But I didn't do it for the, you know, moral reasons. I did it because I was just like, stop giving me bloody red meat, Mom.
Right.
It was a chop every night, a different chop. So now I'm like, you know, maybe I should just go full vegan, because all I eat is poultry and fish anyway. I could probably cut that out easily.
That's
I will
true,
teach you
yeah.
my ways.
Teach me.
Health and ethical reasons.
You know I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go, you know. But I don't know. On the other side, though, I'm thinking that, I mean, our bodies can handle meat. Maybe not as well as vegetables and stuff, but I think nature sort of like evolved us to eat meat, wouldn't you
well,
say?
Well, I mean, again, there's huge debates about this, but you know, the stuff that I've read, the studies I've seen, we're not meant to eat meat, you know? If I were to eat meat right now, I would end up in the hospital because my body, like, hasn't had meat in over 25 years. So I don't think our bodies are meant to eat meat, and I think that even if they were, we, as humans, have evolved to have the compassion and, you know, we don't need to be doing that, basically.
Right.
So I know there's tons of debate, and some people are like, oh, my blood type, this, this, and this, but, you know, I'm living proof, and so is my family, that you definitely don't eat meat. And, you know, my parents are, oh, I cannot out their age right now. They'd kill me. But they are so incredibly healthy, you know, and it's because of their vegan lifestyle.
Right.
And they go to the gym 6 hours a day, but, you know.
Other than that.
6 hours a day.
But also, I think, you know, we can go back to the cavemen and say whatever they ate, however they ate plants and animals and what was around. But they also didn't eat what we have at our disposal right now, which is animals that are being malnourished or they're being stuffed with food. And things are being so, like, genetically modified.
That, yeah, that's the other thing. There's
it's not pure.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
That, and also it's domesticated animals. You know, it's not animals that can look out for themselves, because in nature, you know, I mean, animals hunt other animals and they eat meat and so forth. You can understand for food reasons. Yeah.
The circle of life has been modified, let's just say.
Yeah, yeah. If we were living outside and we had to, you know, kill animals for food, then you know what? Go do it. I'm not going to get in your way. Go survive. But we.
But you're saying here we have a choice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And also, I mean, I don't know other states right now, but like in just our city alone, we have like several restaurants, like Real Food Daily, Crossroads. There are high-end restaurants now that are just vegan.
Gracias Madre.
Gracias Madre, exactly.
Most of my non-vegan friends are the people that love these
Cafe
places.
Gratitude.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, they're like specifically just vegan restaurants.
Yeah, and they're great. I mean, granted, it's been a while since I've had meat, but I'm pretty sure that it tastes better, if anything, and healthier.
Oh, and yeah.
You can eat a lot more of it for less calories.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
What's the difference between a vegan and a vegetarian?
A vegetarian doesn't eat... Well, okay. A vegan doesn't eat any meat, any dairy, any fish, any anything.
Right.
And there's different levels of all, you know, vegans and vegetarians. But a vegetarian, as I see it, basically doesn't eat meat or fish, but still eats dairy and eggs.
Right.
Okay. And then there's all levels. You know, there's some vegans that won't, you know, eat honey or, you know, like there's all those.
Because
like,
it comes from a bee?
Yeah. Yeah. But for
so
the
anything
most part,
that comes from an animal, vegans don't eat.
Yeah.
Okay, so like what grows in the ground?
Right, only plants. What about like pasta and stuff?
You oh no, eat pasta. We eat lots of pasta.
Right.
Yeah. What about, okay, so tofu falls under that. Then you can eat that, right?
Yeah, we could eat tofu, pasta. I mean, pretty much plants. So much. No, there's just pretty much everything except for meat and dairy, which right. is a lot, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I still eat my pizza. It's just vegan pizza, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And we have Fresh Brothers that has, like, gluten-free, vegan, the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, everything. Just everything's covered.
Yeah.
You can find so much. You know, last
there
night.
There are options.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting. Well, Shira, where can people find you? You said Little Love Rescue, right?
Little Love.
Little Love. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Little Love Rescue.
Little Love Rescue. You guys can find that where? On all the social networks?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Instagram. Our website should be back up in about a week. Yeah, we're all over.
Great.
And anywhere in L.A. we can help rescue. And like I said, I send my parents back to New York with animals too. So I guess we can help in other states too.
Yeah. And where are you located? Where's the place?
Los Angeles.
Right. But I mean, is there like a specific place
know? We don't have a facility. Me and Brittany, as I was joking before, we basically run out of our homes. And you know, the other thing actually that's really important is we always need fosters. So even if you can't adopt an animal, if you're willing to foster an animal even for a week, that helps save lives.
Yeah.
So that's extremely important, having fosters to do that for us.
I'll foster a dog.
That would be amazing.
Or a cat. Yeah, I'll foster.
Yeah, you know, Franco, he's been fostering a kitten for me for the past month, and that kitten wouldn't have had a chance if not for Franco.
Cute!
Yeah. Yay, Franco.
All right, well, that's good. As long as you still have compassion for human beings and everything, don't forget people, you know?
No, 100%.
I have a rescue for people.
Yeah.
Especially males between the ages of 32 and 42.
Okay, that look a certain way too?
Over 5'10".
Okay.
Have a job, so I'll rescue you.
You'll rescue you. Well, there's plenty of guys like that in L.A., so you can rescue all of them.
And I'm partners with Jen on this rescue. I will come groom you and get you ready for your new home with Jen.
Exactly. So, you know where to find me.
There you go, yeah.
At well, Jennifer Golden, the rescue of males.
I will train you to spend quality time with you.
Now she put it out there so you guys can't say you weren't invited.
Exactly. We'll groom and train you.
My rescue, you can be 31 and over.
Okay. All right, Shira. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Of course. Congratulations for everything that you do.
Thank you.
And everybody who can help out, please contact Little Love Rescue. And you can find them everywhere, really. And just help them out, man. I mean, you know, if you can't adopt a dog, if you can't rescue, at least help other people do so. And
yes, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, all the best to you, Shira. You're always welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Since you're Jen's friend. We normally don't invite guests back, but when you're a friend, it's your family.
And next time I'm coming with animals. So it's
all
get,
of them.
They'll be good.
It's going to get all of crazy them? Up
bring
in
them
here.
All. Yeah.
All of
them.
Cats, dogs, all of them.
All right. Well, Jen, have a great weekend.
You too, Sam.
Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.